The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and a sensitive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken für der Bass ist verboten!
State of war would exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now,
a walk in the Black Forest.
I'm not a bot.
Good evening and welcome to 2RRR 88.5 FM. This is A Walker in the Black Forest, episode 316. On tonight's show, living amongst people, not as easy as you may think. The Christians, at it again. Batman, the Dark Knight, gets a rainbow sticker on the Batmobile. The Golden Razzies, who lost and, well, who lost. Getting fit while procreating, otherwise known as... Popercise. Do you like that?
Nice, I like that.
Popercise. Good, yeah. I thought of that myself.
It's your word.
Liberal turmoil, a touch of Coonan, all that, and the saga of the ants, Adam and his friends, A Walk in the Black Forest, where Underbelly left off.
Is it far enough away from the fires now, or...?
Hey, put your tits back in.
Sorry.
Really like the new Kelly Clarkson album. I know she's taking a new direction.
I have a massive time for Kelly Clarkson.
I tell you what, the language is a bit fucking shocking.
It is a little shocking, and I was offended by the fucking language. I don't know about you.
Oh, hey, fucking how pissed off about the fucking language. It's fucking horrendous.
I was somewhat taken aback, I have to tell you.
How dare you talk dirty like that? I am offended by your fucking language.
That ain't the fucking half of it.
Exactly. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, ladies and gentlemen. Show number...
Fucking 116.
I'm so glad we did a language warning at the start of this show. Unlike last week where we did it.
We've got some big news. Are we going to...
The program contains strong language.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Do that again.
Yeah, fair enough. Why not? I want to hear that again.
The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
Fuck.
Right, there we go. Four...
Yes. What are you gonna ask?
Are we telling the news, the big news at this point, or are we gonna let them find out one week when they tune in and there's nobody here?
We'll leech it out.
Let's work out what we're gonna do.
Yeah, leech it out bit by bit. But what we will say,
can we say that there's something
in the next couple of weeks. There's a very big announcement on this show.
I know what it is.
Yeah,
you've finally been accepted into the Wiggles.
Close.
Oh.
We're replacing you with Daryl Summers.
Fantastic.
Hey, that's all right. That's fair enough.
And I'll tell you what, if you turn your headphones around, we won't hear the echo from your headphones going back into your microphone.
Or if you just put some on his head.
They are the most uncomfortable set of headphones I have ever seen in this place.
They are great.
I'll change them during the break. They're just all bonkers.
Into what? What are you going to change them into?
I'm going to put my own on.
These ones.
These ones are plugged in, so you would assume they'd be working.
I have a story. I have a story.
Can I just say welcome back, Abe? Because it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Where have you been? I think it's been like 3 weeks.
Around in a boat.
Canadian. Hey,
and look what happened last week.
In a boat.
Without you, Richard and I get in all manner of strife and trouble.
We had to delete. an hour and 25 minutes of the show.
Exactly. So it was like Channel 9 News, really.
Just for those of you who don't know, who didn't notice, you know, there might be audio engineers out there, Pete, thinking, yep. Oh, that's been edited.
That's been edited,
that's
yeah.
That's been edited yep. when you listen to last week's show.
Yep.
We're putting out a challenge.
Yes, we are.
Challenge this week. Yep. To go find our edit point. I think we yep. I think we got away with it, Pete.
I think we did.
I think we smoothed it over smooth enough.
Yep. Did it sound a bit like this? Like that?
It was very close to that, yep. but undetectable.
Undetectable.
Mm. Undetectable.
Except by the trained ear of Navy diving dogs.
Now, did
so
you know...
So unless you're one of those...
Yes, exactly right. Have you seen them in their little like, breath apparatus? They're cute though. Woof! Woof!
Really? They don't appear underwater?
Yeah, they do.
Why does that sound like the movie Pineapple Express? Really?
Serious? Navy dogs that dive?
I may have made that shit up.
Oh, right.
Just
actually,
maybe.
You know what? You didn't because it was in one of the Tintin books.
Ah!
Yeah, in Tintin, Snowy... No, seriously, Snowy and yeah. Tintin went to the moon, yeah. and Snowy had his own orange spacesuit with a bubble over the top
nice.
Of his head.
Nice.
So true.
And Tintin did as well?
No, they just let him out and he died. Yeah. It was awesome.
He exploded.
So now we know what Abe's been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, Navy diving dogs...
Yes.
What we need is probably a hand signal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking after...
Or a paw signal.
After 15 years of the show, yep. we should probably have already devised one. A hand signal that says, I'm speaking shit.
Yes, that's true.
But then again, I'm guessing if we did have a hand signal...
yeah, that's a good one.
Our hands offensive would be permanently in the air.
That's very true. That's very true.
So I'm going to pick a signal. That's my signal.
Oh, that's...
And I'm going to do that whenever I'm speaking shit.
Ah, nice. Excellent.
Well, considering that this week the Defence Department released a statement that, in fact, a large amount of Australian servicemen, in fact, 1 in 7 is currently obese.
That's correct.
And 50-something percent of those are in the Navy.
Yep.
Now, they released a statement that said that...
Be honest, it's a bit of an easy ride, isn't it?
Well, it's you're trigger driven everywhere on a boat.
You're eating
full steam ahead, Captain.
The love boat, But see, the thing is, it's a load of crap. They they're on a boat, they can't exercise. How hard are sit-ups?
See, think about being in the Air Force, for example.
They really are. They hurt my back.
Yeah, exactly right. And occasionally I fall backwards and hit like that metal staunchion. Oh, just,
that's no good.
No, like
metal
the Air Force...
staunchion.
You know, boats are made of metal.
Metal
but
staunchion.
But are they made of staunchions?
No, technically, Abe, you're the noted shipbuilder of the of the show.
Isn't a staunchion actually a stanchion and it's to do with trains?
Could well be.
I thought it was, yeah.
No. Anyway, my point being that the Air Force is very hard to be fat because you can't fit in the cockpit. Not a line from you.
Very true.
Yes.
That's not the first time there's been a fat in a cockpit.
Are you a staunchion?
Oh, that's okay, I'll pay that one.
Are you a staunchion believer of the cockpit?
I am a staunchion believer of the cockpit, yes.
Yes.
Because the papers did make quite a, shall we say, brouhaha of the fat army by doing many cartoons about the fat army chasing down Osama bin Laden and not being able to get into his cave because they can't get through the door. Many comments of the army perhaps not demonstrating the levels of fitness required for combat. Now, this I would assume many of the overweight soldiers are not on active duty.
Well, obviously they're on inactive duty unless they have active duty in McDonald's.
Like I wouldn't argue, for example, that Australian Special Forces, I don't think that figure would apply to the Australian Special Forces.
Very unlikely.
You don't know what their special forces are.
They could be the...
It could be laser breath.
They could be
breath
special...
Breath of steel.
Could be special sauce forces.
Special...
Hey, special sauce lettuce cheese.
That's better than what I had.
That's right.
And it wasn't very
good. I'll go with that one.
It's actually really interesting because the first... they really first realized that they had a problem with, obesity in the military when Tania Zayeta found a whole lot of fats in the army. Tons of them. I don't know where she found them, but apparently she found tons of them.
I've heard... No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, that's a joke.
That's a gag. No. I'm staying away from that
one. See, it's a really good idea.
It's a very, very, very good idea.
So how about those fires?
Yeah. Oh. Now, and of course now we just play the end of the show.
So getting back to there we go.
That was a good show.
That was great. Wasn't it?
That one. It was nice and long.
Great. Oh, we're still recording.
Oh yeah, damn.
So we challenge you to go back to the last episode
and find the subtle.
Yeah, to be fair, you'll have to listen to it all the way through several times.
Yep.
Make sure you listen to all of our sponsors.
Yep.
And find where you think the edit point is. Email us.
Yep.
At
edit point.
@walkblackforest.org. Yep. Now, tell us where the Edit Point is, and we will send you a prize. Well, Pete will. Because Pete's our prize sender.
I've got a prize.
Pete will send you a prize.
Now, they'll send you the new Apple iBrick.
Yes. Now, speaking of, and thank you for raising that, because last week I did talk about the fact that some, and I apologize for the terminology now, some fuckwit stole my phone from desk at work.
If you've been a little bit clever, I just did. If you've been a bit clever with it, if you'd said fuck stick, I would have paid. Oh, shit.
Now,
I just had to write one down.
It's funny. So some tool boy stole my phone from work. Mm. Now, I decided to tell some of the people at work who are fairly cognizant of the street.
Mm-hmm.
They understand what goes on in the hood.
They're down with it.
And I explained to them that I've had my phone nicked. And that, you know, I've had my SIM cancelled.
Did you ask Nick if he took it?
No, I didn't.
See?
That's the thing. And I had my IEMI number blocked so that the phone effectively would be a brick.
Mm-hmm.
What I then found out was that if you went down to Auburn pretty much any time of the day and went to certain shops, they can actually unbrick the IEMI number and make the phone a usable, workable handset again.
Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't that be illegal?
Which is what they did before you could buy the iPhone out here. You would buy it overseas, bring it over here.
Get it debricked.
Get it debricked, and you can use it on any network.
So therefore someone... So my phone...
Forgot about that.
I should have
told you about that.
So the claim by my provider, who I won't name, except to say that, you know... Richard Benson's one of my
friends. You wouldn't want to fuck with them.
No. Yeah, exactly right. Because I'm just about to get my new phone back. My provider told me that my phone will be effectively useless.
Effectively.
After they've blocked it. It is the equivalent of sending a 40,000-volt shock directly through the phone line into your phone and frying it.
That sounds sexy. Will it be inserted at that
point? You didn't read the small print.
Oh, yes.
Will be effectively useless... Unless you live in Auburn.
Yes, in which case you can have it made completely useful and well worth flogging from my desk. Mm. So, of course, I didn't feel particularly as warm and fuzzy about that because there's data on my phone, there's photos on my phone, there's...
It'll be really easy, for people to find your phone, though.
Yep.
Because yours are the only Apple iPhone with Hello Kitty stickers on it.
That's very true.
Yep.
That's very true. And it's the only Apple iPhone that actually plays the Hello Kitty theme.
Really?
As a ringtone.
Oh,
very nice.
That's
very
awesome. Nice, you can put ringtones on your phone now.
Because it's not the...
Wow, Apple have just discovered this.
It's not at the Hello Kitty, because that would actually be a copyright infringement.
Yes.
I actually went to Korea and downloaded the Hello Kitty.
Ah, Hello Kitty.
Yeah, yeah, it's very important.
Hello Kitty.
So, therefore, I will actually at this point say major props to my insurance company.
Word.
Who replaced the phone.
Mm.
Because, you know, I've been paying somewhere in the vicinity of about $75 a month for insurance of all the home and contents that I've never claimed on for 10 years.
Mm.
Quick calculation, bucket loads of money.
Mm.
Now, I then, for the first time in 10 years, claim on my insurance. They, say that their iPhone that they're getting is actually about $250 more expensive than the replacement, than actually replacing the phone as an upfront. Secondly, it won't actually be on the network where my phone is currently on. Mm. I'll have to pay the $120 to the network it's on in order to have it un-network locked.
That doesn't make sense.
So I can put it back onto my network. And then finally, just as they're going, right, we're going to deliver your phone. Where's the address? It'll be there in 24 to 48 hours. Oh, by the way, did we mention there's a $150 excess? Mm. Can you please give us your credit card details now? So, out of all of this...
So, how's that looking compared to just buying a new phone?
Still cheaper.
Still cheaper?
Still cheaper. Not much, though.
Mm.
Not much. Because due to circumstances beyond my control, that will, of course, be revealed in the fullness of time as we make our big announcement. Mm. In about 6 or 8 weeks, I actually have to cancel my fucking contract.
Yeah.
So, there's another $600.
But think of the month.
Yep.
That you haven't had a phone.
Yes.
That you've saved the whatever your monthly thing is.
No, because I had to pay that too.
Yeah, but if you hadn't,
yep.
You wouldn't have had to.
That's true, you're right. And the other thing I'd like to look at this is, as a real positive to me, it's a ringing endorsement for the iPhone. Because after going back to use my four-year-old Motorola, I realized that, you know what? I don't really need all that shit. So it's actually been quite of a So what's great is I'm going to spend $800 on a phone that I don't actually fucking need.
But you will need it for a month.
Yeah, I'm going to need it for a month. So I actually think technology has been my friend this week. I've really enjoyed the processes that are behind technological adoption and technological usage. Fantastic. Rock and roll, Apple iPhone.
I don't know.
Should have just got a BlackBerry Storm and be done with it.
It's so true.
I know.
A walk in the Black Forest.
I have a story.
Okay, go for it.
While Richard organises himself.
Yep.
I have a story.
Yes.
Now, when I arrived here at Triple R today, I was very excited.
Yes.
I thought to myself, it's been some weeks since I've been here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nothing says Triple R to me than
more than the giant dildo at the doorframe.
Yes. Oh, Richard hadn't arrived yet. Then he got here.
Yes.
No. Actually, I was here for like an hour before you guys got here. Why was I here so early? I was doing my own show.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You're listening to last week's show and realizing that without you, we are nothing.
No, I was actually thinking, why am I here? Now, my story is fascinating because when I arrived here today, nothing else says this place like the particular object I saw today.
Yep.
It was a bottle of Antrid on the desk. Yes. And I thought to myself, Antrid, what a fantastic... Like, that's a technological product, something everyone has in their home. But at Triple R, our Antrid...
Was it digital Antrid?
No. Analog Antrid. Yeah.
Wow.
Our Antrid... was full of ants.
No.
Your alternative.
Now, the thing I'd like to ask, mention about that, because on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago...
Is that where they went, then?
Because they're not in the panel anymore.
A couple of months ago.
That's right.
We had thousands of ants.
We had some ants in the studio, we did talk about on air, if you remember correctly.
You think someone came in and said, hey, buddy, no, hey, guys. That's it.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I'll do it again. Yeah. Do you think a guy came in and said, hey, guys, there's a thing... Not a thing. I'll say it again.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy comes in and says, hey, guy... No, they're not guys. They're ants.
Yeah.
I'll do it again. A guy comes in and says, hey, ants. No, that doesn't work. I'll do guys.
Did you know?
A guy comes in and goes, hey, guys, you ants, things. There's some ant rids in the hoods, mates. And the ants go, okay. And they go.
You sound like the guy that stole my phone.
Yo.
Yeah, now I know you're the guy that stole my phone. Word up, G.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
So
I was just really happy that I met Adam.
Yeah, fair enough too. So are we gonna play this?
Adam and the ants.
You don't mean to draw attention to it, Peter.
I was waiting.
Yeah.
Stretching. 2RRR at 8.5 FM. See? Perfect. That's one. There's a secret.
So, Richard, can you elucidate us, or illuminate us, perhaps, as to what that fine piece of musical verbiage was?
Sure. Now, you see, maybe I can give a bit of an explanation of why as well.
Or not. Yeah. Oh.
That's like last week.
Oh. Yeah.
And then we put the... Oh, you meant to do it then.
Okay. Yeah.
What am I supposed to... Oh.
Okay, so we haven't got any music this week.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, you may be confused, thinking, but there was fucking music, you dickheads. Mm-hmm. That was music.
Yeah.
And the thing before that was music at the top of the show that kicks on.
And it was great, which, by the way, was The Exploited doing Religion.
Exactly. I don't know why you're thinking...
I'll take one off.
No, I'm editing.
I am, because of the ones you can say normally. Yes. So, we haven't got any music, so...
Yeah, thank you.
What we decided to do is, we'll use some of the fantastic music that's on Pete's iPhone.
Yep. Yep, that's
true. And we plugged it in, and we realised it wasn't actually there.
No.
Right, so we thought, well, we're going to have to use some of Richard's shit music.
Yep.
Which is either Kylie or Radio Birdman.
Yep.
And we thought, well, Abe's going to hate Radio Birdman at least.
Yep.
So we don't know what to do. So I went through my iPhone,
and
I saw you giggling at some of the bands in there, and there's a story behind each of them.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
The most obscure one. The obscure one I could find is Hang on the Box.
Yep.
A Japanese girly punk band.
Yep.
And that was No Sexy off their For Every Bitch and Arsehole album.
Nice. Word up.
And that's got to be the longest back in it. No, actually, in the earlier days, we probably
back
it out
for about 6 hours. Yes, that's
I
very true.
I remember many years ago that when you people would back announce, you would back announce in such a way that I really think you could probably recap most of 1994 during
the back
recap.
Yeah, nice.
And we did.
Now,
we
by
did.
The way, just as an aside, before we get on to topics interesting.
Right.
There
ain't none.
Well, that's true. So just as an aside, really. Did you listen to the show, of course, that we talked rather extensively about the Saints?
I did listen to some of it.
Yep.
And when I'd recovered...
I was wondering what that pencil was doing in your eye.
When I'd recovered from my bout of diarrhea, I listened to the rest of it, and I lost about 14 kilos listening to the show.
Nice.
I'm also bulimic, though.
Excellent. Did you enjoy the YouTube footage?
I did.
And if you
want to
know what
footage.
We're talking about, go to our website, www.warpbyforest.org. There's some cool YouTube clips
I saw it.
From All Tomorrow's Parties.
I did see the YouTube, and I'd have to say that's possibly one of the worst bands I've ever seen, apart from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds Live.
Who were on later.
There you go.
Now, this last week we talked a little bit...
Which is great, because he could go home early.
Actually, Mission Impossible 2, the stage show, was pretty bad.
By the way, Richard, did you, just as a bit of an aside, and I think bringing it home to Abe, and me... The uniqueness that is Australian music. Ed Cooper has joined the Bad Seeds.
Good place for him. I
that's what I reckon too. Because actually, we should actually say we did talk a little bit about the bushfires last week, but it was actually announced today that there's two big bushfire concerts being held, one in Sydney, one in Melbourne. The one in Melbourne will feature the first time Reformation since 2005 of Midnight Oil.
What?
Yes. Playing in Melbourne, I think March 14th, I think, is the date.
Yes, and apparently he will be getting up. Peter Garrett will be getting up, but like Peter Garrett has done in his political career, he will be singing lullabies.
Yes, so true. So, yeah.
Really? March 14th?
March 14th in Melbourne, yes.
Is this part of the bushfire?
It's part of the bushfire thing? Appeal, yep.
Wow, that's tempting to go.
I said the exact same thing. I said the exact
will
same thing.
Will you be
thing.
Here?
Yes, I will be. I will be. We'll talk after the show. Yeah, yeah. We never do that normally.
I'll leave early.
Well, I'm willing to make an exception.
So, also playing, of course, is the Reformed Hunters and Collectors, Split Ends, Coldplay and Kings of Leon, who are in the country at this point in time. Probably two of the biggest bands in the world playing the MCG.
Oh, Coldplay playing?
Oh, only an acoustic set. I have to do a shit during a show like that. So that's probably when I'd go out to do that.
Right.
It's a long festival.
Adding that point again.
It's a long festival, and yeah. Anyway, so but the Reformation Midnight Oil, it was interesting. Michael Gaudinski, who is promoting the event, and of course 100% of the profits are going to the Bushfire Appeal, said in order to get Peter Garrett to perform, he had to go and ask Kevin Rudd's permission. And Wayne Swans.
Of course.
I don't know why Swanee.
It's good that he did anyway, because it's a great publicity thing. Isn't it
is. I understand why I'd have to ask K-Rudd, but maybe they were just asking Swanee if he actually wanted to front them first.
What's the bit that he gets booed?
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he will too.
Because the pulp mill and the mine is just extended, and he's complete ineffectual attitude to the whales.
Depending on the audience, mind you. Depending on who's there, because if it's a whole lot of yobs, being Melbourne and all, they might just go.
The moment he
plays, they may as well not play. If they're good enough to think, well, we'll be there, they're probably expecting people who like them, and people who like them, majority are people who
Okay, but I think most of them
about
will go,
the whales being pulped.
The moment they start playing, Beds Are Burning. See, this is the problem.
They won't play that. They can't play Beds Are Burning.
That's true.
And a bushfire appeal.
This is the problem, because the Kings of Leon have got the same problem. Their biggest song at the moment is Sex on Fire.
Yeah, no.
Which they can't play.
Can't play that.
They wouldn't play Stand in Line either, would they?
No, probably not.
They didn't have the Bloodhound Gang either.
But they wouldn't play Powderworks. There's a shitstorm coming.
Now, here's my issue. He has got...
Do you want to keep rolling?
No. And you can interject. Yeah. He's got a real problem, because ultimately, most of the lyrics of Midnight Oil are probably either A, contradictory to current government policy, contradictory to...
Well, they wouldn't play their biggest hit, that's for sure. US Forces.
Now, US Forces ain't going to get a run. Blue Sky Mine, perhaps.
Yeah,
I reckon that might get a bit of a... No, that's not going to work. Probably One Country. They could get away with One Country, I reckon.
Or Ned Kelly?
Yeah,
that's pushing crime, isn't it?
How about Power and the Passion?
It'd have to be something that promotes pulping.
It's better to die on your knees. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
That'll do.
That'll work. You get to get away with that.
Oh, what about that acoustic one about the Aborigines?
Oh, Dead Heart.
Yeah, Dead Heart. There you go. Maybe. That'll be a good one.
I don't think there's lyrics about the intervention in there though.
No, there's not.
No. It's a bit.
Well, there is about. Sorry,
the plug on the interventions.
That's true. They might play some of their last five albums that are all Christian songs.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not? Excellent. Well, that solves that problem. Yeah. So,
pretty damn close.
Minister, if you're listening, take our advice. We know.
Would he be the first government minister of any nation?
Minister of the Crown.
To have played in a rock band while...
No.
While a member?
Well, I mean, in America, you've had professional wrestlers who have become
They stopped wrestling. They had to stop wrestling.
Well, yes, but, you know, I reckon...
Yeah,
I reckon,
but, you know, none of them would have been in there.
Sure, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He had to stop acting.
None of them would have gone to the hill while...
No, I don't know. If that's a good question. If you know... Write to us at
Peter Garrett is ineffectual.
Yeah, Peter Garrett is ineffectual at warpbyfrost.org, and we'll send you a prize if you come up with any other noted politicians from anywhere in the world who have been in number one charting rock bands.
Yeah, number one charting.
Yep. In their home country's fine. They could be Latvian. Yeah. They could be Estonian. We don't care. But they have to be number one charting, and I want to see the Wikipedia entry.
And the cool thing about it, though, is that he's gone back to play in the band as opposed to giving it up and gone on. So you know, somebody who was in a band in the 60s and had a number one and now nothing to do with music, that doesn't really count. It's got to be, you know...
Because, Kate, look, I do like the fact that Captain Planet's given his permission.
I think it's great.
I think it's a...
Well, he'd have to. He couldn't say no.
That's true, if the media got to that
The beauty of it is that he'll spend a lot of his time rehearsing for the gig instead of fucking up the environment.
That's true.
I would like to know I'd like to know what his fellow band members have to say to him when he's rehearsing some of these songs.
Oh, nice.
They'd go, so this whole mining thing song you're singing about... you have the power to change that now.
Yes.
Would you like to?
See, the biggest problem is that what Kevin Rudd actually did insist upon is that once Minnow et al. Take the stage, that unfortunately Peter Garrett will actually have to share the vocals with Penny Wong.
Oh.
it is unfortunate.
Which is lucky because Penny Wong actually knows what she's doing.
And when they're introducing the band at the end there, the band is just
non-vocals,
Right Honourable Peter Garrett, MP.
I guarantee.
Minister for the Arts.
I guarantee they'll say that.
I bet you they will.
Absolutely.
But that said...
I'll use a Melbourne term, it'll be a... Lay down Mazaire.
Nice.
Yeah,
so, but that said,
it, you know.
The Sydney show is also being held. There's bands, big bands appearing in the Sydney shows as well.
Oh, it's not playing in Sydney?
No, they're only doing Melbourne.
Why?
Don't know. There's a few other bands doing Sydney.
Didn't get any fire?
No, the Sydney one's a little bit odd. The Sydney one is actually half the profits are going to the bushfire relief. The other half are going to the Queensland flood. Relief.
I believe actually the other portion of that is just going to New South Wales because we're stone frickin' broke.
That's true. So that was just my aside. I just wanted to mention those two
things.
That's
a massive frickin' aside.
It's a pretty big aside.
By the way, there is a Salvation Army bushfire benefit next Tuesday, which is where I'll be.
Yep.
If you're interested to go along.
That's true. Look,
I can't be asked. Is Peter Garrett playing?
No.
I'll be there.
Is K Rudd playing?
Yes.
Nice.
You know what? K Rudd is fronting his very own hardcore band.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
See, there's like Paul Keating.
Mm.
Yeah, Ramrods.
Ramrods. There we go. Mm.
But he was a manager.
He was a manager. That's true.
I was going to mention it, but he was a manager. So.
That's true.
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair.
Fuckwit. Oh, sorry.
I saw him on Dateline actually this week.
Isn't that ironic?
Yes, I know.
I know. Tony Blair, Dateline, head up his ass.
He was there. Actually, I will say something. I thought Tony Blair was not actually given enough of an opportunity. The problem was George Negus kept interrupting him.
What was the gist of the Dateline interview?
The gist basically was...
Oh, I'll be George!
Aren't you guilty that Iraq was a complete fuck-up? That was the gist of the interview.
Are you quoting?
Where are these weapons of mass destruction? Are you embarrassed that there are no weapons of mass destruction?
Didn't we deal with this 10 years ago?
You have to dismiss every single thing that Blair says.
Yeah.
Because he is a confused mofo.
Yes.
He was interviewed by Geraldine Duke on Compass.
Loving Jesus.
The whole interview was, how does the fact that
every violent war ever has been caused by religion conflicts with your message that if only there was more religion in the world, we'd be better off.
Yep.
And he spent the whole thing trying to justify that.
Now, here's the interesting thing. He was asked
He's a loony.
He was asked that exact same question about, you know, you talk about religious blah, 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 blah. And he said, why is it that almost every war has either a religious element? And then there was a question about, and then he said, oh, yes, but you never actually questioned the fact that there's never been a war between two democracies.
Yes, there has.
And then it was a complete distraction from the religious, which is actually a fundamental philosophical question, to this nondescript argument that, oh, there's never been a war between two democracies.
Russia and Chechnya, they're both democracies.
That's true. That is true. Mm. And that's the thing. But, like, it's a distractor.
Australia, New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the cricket pitch.
New South Wales and Queensland?
Lay down, Mazir.
It's difficult to
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all you got. Yeah.
To really sort of accept anything he says. He's actually a right nutter, from what I can detect from the Compass interview.
I struggle with Tony Blair because, I mean, ultimately, as part of the axis of stupidity, which he was, he was the only technically left-wing member of the axis of stupidity.
Yeah, but he was only left-wing comparatively.
Yes.
He wasn't actually left-wing because... When Tony Blair came to power, everyone was like, oh, this is going to be great, and New Labour. But New Labour wasn't New Labour so much as it was New Government. And, and as we discussed at the time, really their idea was just to have a very economically driven agenda, and that's all they had.
Yep.
There was no social implications to many, many of their policies. In fact, most of them. And they're the first things they dumped were the social policies, and they just went hardcore economic rationalism, which maybe for the time makes sense. But you can't then... run a war as an economic rationalist because you're not looking at the social aspect of it.
And here's the fundamental problem that you've got is the fact that now, in some senses, Bush is not actually going to discuss his legacy outside of people paying $1,000 to go and see him. John Howard had any legacy that he had completely destroyed by the fact that he was the only person outside of Stanley Melbourne Bruce to lose his seat.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. The ABC did a very good job of rebuilding his...
What, you thought the Howard years rebuilt it?
Oh, absolutely. It was full of lies and crap. And the other thing as well is they keep going to him for comment.
Yeah.
The media keep going to John Howard for comment and saying things along the lines of... I noticed that he gave a lecture the other day which was rebutting something that Kevin Rudd said, which was talking about, you know, railing against necessarily this idea of hardline capitalism and looking at another option rather than that. And
social capitalism, I believe, the term Kevin Rudd uses. Yeah.
So... they just took everything John Howard said as being from some kind of well-informed source. Mm. He's just some weeny little ideologue.
Yeah. Mm.
He's always been a weeny little ideologue. His own party says he's an ideologue.
Yeah.
You know, I was just
too frightened of him to actually do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand
why. Isn't Costello getting a flogging?
Well, that was going to be my point about talking about liberal turmoil.
Johnny Houston.
I love you.
Yeah. Well, see, there was an interesting article by, once again, another noted right-wing free thinker, and as we pointed out last week, not journalist, commentator, Gerard Henderson.
Was that the bit we edited out?
No, that was in. Gerard Henderson made a thing at this today talking about John Houston. And they said, oh, yes, when anyone has to go to try and get a right-wing comment, they always go to John Houston, forgetting the fact that, you know, he got out of a business that went bankrupt 2 weeks after he left. You know, and basically just tried to absolutely destroy the character of John Houston.
So what about John Howard's brother that John Howard bailed out of a bankrupt business?
Or his best mate who was running a pulp mill.
Yes, also true. On a government contract.
On a government contract.
Thank you very much, Mr. Howard.
But the interesting point, I mean, Houston really did hammer into Costello this week. Once again, not much more than he did before the election.
It was the same rant, pretty much.
Which was basically,
did you hear Houston? Yes,
he has no. He basically said he's got no ball. He doesn't have the balls for a challenge.
Yeah. I think he's right.
I think he's totally right.
Yeah, I never really thought about that before. I'd thought about that just after the election and then kind of went, oh, no, he's just biding his time. I think it's just chicken shit.
Well, this is the thing. And you talk about how the Howard years resurrected the legacy of the Howard era. I think what it actually did to Costello is just made him look like a weeny little tool. Because the reality was, he's there like, oh, yeah, John Howard promised it to me, but then he turned and said no.
And it was like a really bad day.
I feel sorry for
him. I don't know why making this sound like John Howard.
No, because he does. I think, also, I agree with you that the fact that he's ineffectual.
Yeah.
Well, I always use ineffectual. Why don't I say? He's gutless.
Yeah,
right.
He's gutless. I agree with
you. But also, it's not the right time.
That's true. No, you
it's
are right.
It's not the right time.
Turnbull
has to get all of the shit out of the way first.
Technically, Turnbull has to lose the next election.
You know?
Yeah, that's Costello
is not a rebuilder. He's a guy who wants to win. He'll win from the point where they can win.
But here's the question.
But he has to survive. I don't know if he's going to survive that long.
Now, here's the question. Basically,
well, he's trying to, otherwise he'd be out of there.
Yeah, but see, the knives are out. They want his seat.
Yeah.
Because it's blue ribbon. So they've got to think to themselves, do they want this guy sitting around doing nothing for 3 years? Mm. More than that, it'll have to be 6 years.
No. I think the Liberals, if we're talking about a realistic chance of winning, will have a realistic chance of winning not this election, but the one after. Now, the problem is going to be, and it's the same problem that faces Obama, is that when people when people are struggling financially, they want to look for a person to blame.
Mm.
Now,
but see, the thing is,
you don't have to look for one.
If you follow,
it's called John Howard, and you've already kicked him out.
Yeah, it's a good point, dude. But the problem is that John Howard is already blaming Rudd.
Yeah.
John Howard is blaming Rudd for something that he couldn't possibly have done.
No, but you know what? A good 30 or 40% of the Australian population don't understand that. They're the same ones that voted John Howard in 11 years thinking he was a battler that just happened to have a fucking mansion in Wollstonecraft.
Hey, there's some people that think Alan Jones is a battler.
That's true.
He's the common man.
Oh, yeah,
I think people see through very, very easily the fact that, you know, it didn't go wrong with Labor. Hmm. It went wrong ages ago.
Everybody
understands now that, you know, Costello and Howard had it easy because of the mining boom, because we had China, nobody else had China. And they were lucky. I think everybody understands that now.
I don't know. There was only one. I saw one commentator.
I mean, the only people who don't understand it are Tony Abbott.
Yep.
And Tony Abbott.
Yeah, pretty much. And Tony Abbott doesn't understand much outside of Jesus.
No, he doesn't.
But
I tell you what, Joe Hock, I'm impressed by Joe Hock.
You like Happy?
He's on Q&A the other night.
Yep.
Very funny guy.
He is a very funny guy, and he's actually got... He's very personable, but...
It's
whether,
not a lot going on.
No, there's not much going on.
He's a personable guy, but...
Hello! Considering he's missed the work choices.
That's
but,
true.
You know.
Okay, look, my point is, I saw a commentator on SBS talk about this. They basically said what the Liberals actually had, granted it was a right, left-wing commentator, what the Liberals actually had was they had all the fundamentals put in place by a successful Labor government to run through. What's Labor inherited? All the shit that the Liberals didn't do because they were riding on the coattails of a successful Labor government.
They've got a lot to fix up. That's part of this big spend that they're doing at the moment. Part of the stimulus package has to be to fix up some of the social ills that were ignored for 13 years.
Okay, but
for 13 years there was no money going into disability services of any real
health,
sense.
I know, it's ridiculous. Exactly. I mean, my front gate still squeaks.
What? You're kidding.
There's still a pothole in my footpath.
You know why? Because you told Garrett about it. If only you'd spoken to Penny Wong.
Yeah,
she would have been on that.
Got it fixed.
How can you sleep while the gates are squeaking? He changed it. He changed it at the last minute.
I'll pay that one.
I'll tell you.
Did you think about that before you said your front gate's still squeaking?
I thought of it last week.
Oh, good. Excellent. And you actually wrote it down on a piece of paper so you didn't forget.
And then he forgot the piece of paper.
Then he forgot the piece of paper.
And the start of that song, he goes,
yeah, nice. Now, my point... actually, thank you for raising the stimulus package, because I find it really interesting. 42...
Otherwise known as the stimulation package.
Exactly. $42 billion being thrown into the economy. Now, there was an interesting commentator in the United States who was questioning Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, and it was asked about...
The
$700 billion that... $780 billion US that Obama got through the two houses of Parliament with a sizable amount of pork barrelling, by the way, built into it. But there was a lot
of cash to put in your pocket.
It is a lot of cash to put in your pocket. Someone said perhaps a really good way to actually spend that stimulus package, because most of that's going to rescue banks and big companies, was that what you actually do is that $780 billion is enough money to actually pay off the credit card debt of pretty much every American.
Mm.
And the idea would be you'd give every American the money to pay off their credit card debt, so basically their credit card debts are wiped. Mm. The banks get the money, which is the whole point, but people also have all this extra money themselves to spend because they're no longer paying off credit card debt.
Very
It would
true.
Actually have a double stimulus benefit.
The only problem with that is, what if you're a smart person who paid off your credit card or didn't have credit debt because you only bought... A lot of poor people don't have credit debt because they can't get a credit card. So it's not going to help them in any way, shape, or form. Because what they're doing is they go, here's a really rich person who goes and buys a car and a credit card. Doesn't matter about the interest rate. They don't care because they've got enough money turning over. And then they get bailed out.
But here's the money. The money in the American. But the American stimulus package isn't going to people. It's going to banks.
Yes. Sure. No, I understand that. That's true. And it's interesting, actually,
that. But what I'm saying is, if you do it that way, someone else has suggested, you're just passing on.
Yeah.
Then all the people who are rich and live off debt will get all the money, and the poor people won't get anything.
That's true.
The stimulus packet, that still will only reward the banks.
No.
And the people who build up debt.
On the other side of this, of course, you've got Labor's stimulus package. I'll just get off that topic now. Sure.
He's losing.
I got it.
The other side, you've got Labor's stimulus package here, $42 billion, which, of course, is going in rather large handouts to... the lowest end of the spectrum, people on pensions and the like. A massive injection of cash into schools, into investing infrastructure in schools. But as someone actually pointed out, what we actually need at the moment is another I mean, it's a clever idea. You build it 3,000 or 4,000 schools, which basically employs lots of people all across Australia.
Yep.
The other thought was that perhaps they needed to look at a major infrastructure project, such as the equivalent of the Snowy Scheme version,
like an autobahn.
Or autobahns.
You know what might work?
I hadn't thought of that.
A massive pulp mine. Daintree Rainforest.
Nice.
Massive pulp mine. Oh, you know what else they could do?
Mine.
Pulp... No, bear with me here. You see, there's genius.
Whale hunting.
There'd have to be.
We could start hunting whales.
Pulp it. Mine it.
Nice.
You like it?
Nice.
Double team. Double team. Look, usually they just take a piece of dirt. They cut all the trees down. Replant trees. No. I say... Pulp it, baby. Think about it. Old growth rainforest. Think of all the coal under the ground from the rotting dinosaurs.
Yep.
I'm thinking.
Pulp it, mine it.
You know what? I call it the Garrett factor.
So
yeah,
if you
bring it on.
If you think Abe's economic stimulus is the one to do,
yep.
Write to us at pulp it, mine it.
No, at Abe Does Stand Up.
At pulp it, mine it with Abe Does Stand Up at whatblackforest.org.
You know the other thing we should do?
What?
War.
War, nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is it good for, though?
Everything. Absolutely everything.
You get to get
say it again.
Yeah. Absolutely everything.
There we go. Nice. Nice. Now,
sorry, yes, interesting thought. You know something really odd, though? How's this for strange? California has the same sized economy as Australia does.
Yep.
The whole of Australia, California.
Yep.
How much
it's
is
interesting.
The, how much is their economic stimulus package?
$1.2 trillion.
$42 billion.
$42 billion.
That's right.
Nice.
Bizarre, huh?
Yeah.
Very strange.
And they've got 50-odd million people.
Suckadickosaurus.
Do you think they picked that on purpose? You think Rudd might have picked that?
Is that
on
Australian billion or
people keep
or
asking
US
me that, and it destroys my argument, so shut up.
Okay, fair enough.
I think they might have looked at it and thought, well, it's going to be plus or minus 5-10 billion, so we may as well, if we pick that, at least they can look at the US and the media can say, yeah, it's roughly what the US
did. Now, US did it after, though.
Can we get back to...
the US are probably thinking, oh, if we multiply it out, same as Australia, the media won't question.
Can we get back to Peter Costello, L-O-L-O-A-A-L-O?
Bring it on.
I actually ripped that off from the Axis of Evil. Thank you, boys. Anyway, where were we? I was talking about something else.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Wasn't funny then, it isn't funny now.
Who?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Peter Costello, of course, has returned to the public forefront during this debate by making large amounts of media commentary. Now, this Liberals in Turmoil thing extends a little bit past Peter Costello because there is, and to use the word, a bit of an internecine struggle going on in the Liberal Party at the moment.
I have not heard that for years.
Between
I have not heard that since Rwanda.
There is not.
I love that. Remember Rwanda, yes. Hutus, Tutsis, internecine? Yeah, I want to hear it again. What was it?
Internecine.
You know what?
Rwanda, was she the Minister for Health and Welfare?
I think she was, yeah, I think so. My point is there was a bit of a spat
during
the week.
Do you want me to think about it?
No. A bit of spat during the week between Senators Corey Bernardi and Member of the House of Representatives, Christopher Pyne.
Otherwise known as the Mince.
He did. Oh, he is too. Yes,
known as the Mince.
That's true. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Julia called him the Mince during the
Julie got up today, flipped both her balls and her cock out onto the desk, and she went, "You're a mincer," and went, "Oh, that's not nice." That's now, it. Pretty much, that was the response.
The big question.
That's not fair.
What basically happened was Senator Cory Bernardi, who was one of the parliamentary secretaries in the Senate, put out a newsletter basically slamming Christopher Pyne for being a moderate and basically saying that, well, you know, it just depends on what side of the bed he woke up in the morning, whether he would be Labor or Liberal.
Mm.
That, of course, prompted Christopher Pyne, who...
But it didn't say... It didn't name him.
No, it didn't. It was by implication. But it was one step below saying Christopher Pyne.
Okay.
You know, maybe it wasn't as obvious as saying Pine O'Clean or Pine Forest.
Now, of course, this has led Bernardi...
Pine Needles.
Pine and Fiddy Fjords.
Yep. Pining for the fields, exactly.
Lone Pine.
Lone Pine, yep.
If they kicked him out, he'd be Lone Pine.
That's true.
That's so sad.
So, of course, this was all done...
Boom Boom Bernardi.
This was Boom Boom Bernardi. This was all done boom, in boom. Response to the fact that once Happy Joe Hockey got promoted to Treasury, Shadow Treasury spokesperson, there was a vacancy for his role as... As basically House of Representatives head kicker. What's known as manager of opposition business, but he's basically the parliamentary head kicker.
He's the whip. He's like the whip, isn't
like
he?
Like the whip. Previously,
he's not the whip.
The person who was most pissed off that he didn't get it was Tony Abbott, because he is a people person. And that's something which he really, you know, would have been really working to his people skills.
Hey, Abbott!
So there was this spat, and in the end, Turnbull sacked Bernardi, backed Pyne.
Mm.
But interestingly, now there's a rift between Pyne, Turnbull and Costello, because Pyne used to be a major Costello metaphorical blowjobber. Mm. So
he was the second blow.
He was definitely the second blow, and then he's now turned his allegiances to Turnbull.
Mm.
And Turnbull wants to protect, for some reason, Christopher Pyne. I don't know why. And therefore, Costello's a little bit peed about the whole thing.
Also, the problem is that a lot of Pyne's backing came from Costello's backers.
Yes.
So, are they now then going to move from Costello to Turnbull?
I doubt it.
See, unlikely, so which means he is the Lone Pyne. It's Lone Pyne versus Boom Boom Bernardi.
Did you see that other story this week about allegedly?
Yep.
Allegedly a celebrity, not a celebrity, but a known government official.
Yep.
Which is most likely, they're suggesting most likely, perhaps allegedly,
mm-hmm.
a minister.
Yep.
With a family.
Mm-hmm.
Who had an alleged affair.
Yes, I did see
an
this
alleged
story.
Homosexual affair.
That was filmed, allegedly.
Which was allegedly filmed.
I think I've seen that.
And released on the...
And released on the internet.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yep.
And was being blackmailed, allegedly blackmailed.
Yes. Yep. By an alleged blackmailer.
By an alleged blackmailer who worked in an alleged restaurant in Melbourne.
Allegedly.
No, the Melbourne bit's true.
Oh, Melbourne bit's true.
Yeah, Melbourne bit's true. Yes, and so they're narrowing it down. You know, a family man. He's got a wife and kids.
Well, it has to be a man. Therefore,
having a piece of alleged
that rules most people in
on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume they're from Melbourne. If the restaurant is in Melbourne.
Who knows? You know, ministers
could
travel.
Have been taken on holidays.
Ministers travel.
Could have been taken on holidays.
I can't think of any families, but you know, I don't know many ministers. But
it'll be interesting to see if that story actually gets out, or it just happens to run.
I reckon it's Rudd.
Run out of steam.
Yeah, that's what it is. Captain
Six. Yeah, that's plausible.
Captain Six.
Yeah, that'd be.
I'm really looking forward to the visage.
Yeah.
Visage.
This is the man that couldn't even get interested at scores.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the picture of Kevin Rudd with the red ball in his mouth, wearing the gimp outfit.
And that's why he keeps
saying
he's an economic conservative.
Yeah.
Because he has to put the emphasis on conservative in some ways.
That's true.
Because he's sexually promiscuous.
Ah, maybe.
I don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it either.
I don't. And you know who I think it is?
Julia Gillard.
Penny Wong.
Penny Wong.
Yep, I think Penny Wong's been seeing a man.
Oh, nice. Mm. Nice. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. Go to our website, www.walkblackforest.org. Dragging out the chestnuts.
I tell you what, Natalie Imbruglia's new album is a classic.
That's what Prince Harry said to her. I heard that.
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't they meant to be dating?
Who?
Natalie and Brulia and
apparently.
Harry.
Well, that's going to have a so. Problem for that Silverchair guy.
That's no, they broke up ages.
They broke up ages ago, dude.
Yeah.
Well, she keeps saying to me, I'm still seeing a guy from Silverchair.
She's lying to you.
She's lying.
I like her.
I would.
I like Natalie Brulia.
I'd lie to Abe.
Everyone does. Mm. Now, we're just talking federal politics before. Yeah. How's this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for years, the nutbag right wing have not believed that the environment and the Greenhouse Effect and all that kind of stuff are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But today...
Right. And Andrew Bolt still doesn't.
Exactly. Mm. What a twat. God. And now, Family First Senator Steve Fielding has put his finger, so to speak, in a non-Knox Grammar way... Mm. His finger on the pulse of what could be the problem. Family First Senator Steve Fielding.
Or as I prefer to call him, the video blogging cool senator.
He is a video blogging cool senator. Mm. And trust me, I love his work
He's
on Hard Hut.
Yep.
He's a dude. You, of course, being a member of the video blogging community, Richard, would be well au fait with his work.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that Steve Fielding started
I officially...
There goes my line.
No. You can do it in a second after Pete's finished asking me some pertinent questions.
Yes. Like the journalist I am.
I officially reviewed his video blog when it first came out. I was asked to officially review it for some...
Did you say right-wing
certain
dross?
People in the industry.
Right-wing dross?
No, I said apart from the fact that he's a twat.
Exactly.
And then I gave a critical analysis of his video.
But you did.
Which is a pretty good video blog. It was
camera work, lighting.
Camera lighting, exactly.
No, it's content. Got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with content.
Yep.
And the, yeah.
Relevance?
No, not really.
Just content.
No, just content.
Just content.
Content delivery?
Yep.
So is there no technical thing at all in your review?
Yes, there's a technical thing. You should be able to see and hear.
Oh, excellent.
So we're going, beta cam versus DV cam?
But I mean, you put up with the fuzzies and the widdlies.
Because if the content's good, it overcomes all of that.
Exactly.
It's like porn.
Exactly.
Exactly right.
Speaking of which, I cannot believe...
As long as you come at the end, it doesn't matter.
That's what Steve Fielding says. Now, I cannot actually believe... We all know Steve Fielding as one of these, reality type guys. We're just talking about him before.
Richard
reality.
We even had him on the show.
Did we
almost had him on the show. Well, we would have had him on the show...
If
he'd said yes.
Yes.
Or we'd even asked.
Yeah.
Or we'd thought
of it. Or we'd wanted to do it.
And for those of you who are interested in...
thought of it.
Yeah.
Reality-style videos on the internet, Steve Fielding, of course, started Bang Bus. If you get that joke, that'll be good. Family First Senator Steve Fielding told a Senate hearing today that divorce...
Yep.
...led to a resource-inefficient lifestyle and would be better for the planet if couples stayed married.
Nice.
Wow.
So Steve Fielding has put his finger...
He should get with Miranda Devine, because she also blamed the Greenies.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that was her big thing during last week. She blamed the Greenies, so I think, for everything.
Right, everything.
But particularly for the death
moral
toll,
degradation of this country.
Particularly for the death toll during the bushfires.
Right.
Because they wouldn't allow backburning.
Ah, that's unproven, though.
Mm, I know.
What else has good old Steve-O got to say?
He said, when couples separate...
Or is it Steph? Is it PH?
Oh, it's a V.
It is a Steve.
It's a Steve.
Or Steve.
No, I'm just going to go Steve.
Put my hands right down.
It's good how there's two different versions of the song. I like
that. Yeah, see, he changed the lyrics to be funny, whereas I was actually singing the real lyrics in order to just do the karaoke that this show is.
All right. When couples separate...
Just picture the bouncing ball bouncing.
They need more rooms, more electricity, and more water, which increases their carbon footprint. Now, of course, Steve...
Oh, no, he's missing something else, though.
Divorce causes more water usage.
It does.
But it's also...
We've got to have a shout.
But there's also the increase of greenhouse gases from all the yelling and fighting that they have to do with each other.
He didn't mention that, but that's very well put. I hadn't even thought of that before, but that's true.
And the contribution to the salination of the water system from all the tears shed by the pained couples.
Also, when you're taking the kids back and forth from each other's house on visitation,
more petrol.
I know.
And when you're banging away at your mistress and you have to
Use of condoms.
That's use of condoms. All that rubber.
All that rubber damaging
the economy of Malaysia.
Got Malaysia?
Yeah, they're the biggest condom manufacturer in the world.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they're destroying.
I've never read the box.
They're destroying old growth rainforests in order to put rubber plants in.
Really?
Mm.
I had no idea.
I know.
I feel like an idiot. which is lucky because there's one in there. The
people
senator
should stop having sex then.
They should. Or at least stop banging their mistress.
At least Steve Fielding's got the right idea.
Well, unfortunately...
Or Toy Boy. Whatever you fancy.
Steve has come under attack from his own side of politics. Mm.
He hasn't,
said...
What, how? He's got his own side.
Yeah, he's a wacko right-wing loonies.
Oh, right.
Senator, I was going to say I thought he was the only one in Parliament, but no!
Steve Eyre.
No, I'm not getting caught again.
Let your vote run out.
Senator
Fielding's campaign could encourage couples to live together in sin.
Yes.
To reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. This, of course, from a man who comes from a family of 16 children.
Who said this?
What would he know? Oh, one of his own right-wing personages said Senator Fielding's campaign could encourage couples to live together in sin. Sin, that is, sexual congregation without the use of a camera, to reduce their greenhouse gas emission. Gas
emissions. Know what that stands for?
What?
Sin was an acronym.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, no, sexual intercourse without a video camera.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's a silent V.
Yeah.
Yep, there's a lot of silent letters, but you get it. Yeah. Yep.
Now, Abe, was this right-wing ideologue Bill Heffernan by any chance?
No, it's an unnamed source, which of course meant that the journalist made it up.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I thought that was interesting. Steve Fielding has come out today. Oh, how ironic.
Oh.
And
wonder if he was the...
Blamed it. He's blamed it, he said.
Bill, it was interesting.
I wonder if he's the guy and he's not putting his family first.
Ooh. He's not a minister, though.
Well, there goes that idea, then.
Yeah.
It's not Steve.
But it didn't say it was a minister.
He could be a minister. A minister of the church.
It
he's
could
not
be.
He's not a minister of the church, is he?
No.
No, but he's always talking...
That would just be way too fucking convenient.
Right.
He's always talking about sin and all that kind of stuff, so it can't be him.
I've got to ask you...
They never do bad stuff.
During the debate about the stimulus package, of course, the roll to pass this fell onto the minor parties in the Senate because the Liberals decided that it was economically irresponsible to hand out money to people who needed it.
Or to stimulate the economy in any way, shape, or form.
Because
to be fair, Pete, it wasn't just something that they just thought up, right? It's been their government policy for decades.
What?
Not spending money.
Not spending money.
Not spending money on poor people.
That's true. I think it's actually a bit Liberal Party philosophy.
To be fair. It's not just a slapdash decision.
Richard, I stand corrected.
Okay.
Now, it was interesting to watch the reaction during this because of the courting by the Labor Party of the minor parties, which, of course, was Bob Brown. And one of the big things Bob Brown got out of it was bike paths all across Australia.
Yep. And who else?
To watch Nick Xenophon.
And the other one?
Steve-O.
Steve-O.
Steve, no.
Apparently,
I'm
going
to get one out of you.
Apparently, what Steve got out of that was access to the media.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the media now don't want access to him
anymore. No, exactly.
So, Nick Xenophon was the last to hold out. He wanted money for the Murray-Darling
Basin project, which is an interesting idea because I don't think he mentioned any of that in his platform.
No.
When he was in the thing.
No.
And
the platform wasn't very big and had really long words.
Well, while I feel for the people of the Murray-Darling Basin, I think he's a bit mentally handicapped.
But the point I'd have to actually suggest here, though, is that...
Allegedly, he was told by his clinician.
He was only elected on one platform, which, of course, was the
poker machine.
No, anti-poker machines, correct.
Mm. So then to go and pull something out of, I won't say left of field, I'll say right of field, perhaps.
Definitely right of field.
Or centre field. Centre field?
Right of field. Time is a traveller. Centre field traveller.
To then pull out the Murray-Darling Basin when, you know, we're talking about the country.
I agree.
No, it makes sense.
Because
his whole thing is about the poker machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Murray-Darling.
The Murray-Darling, it's a gamble.
It is.
It's a gamble we have to take for the country.
No, but he's anti-poker machine.
That's what
he's
I'm saying, you see.
Anti-gamble.
We no longer should we gamble with our country's problems.
Yeah.
We should solve them head on.
Good save.
With a rush of water.
That was an excellent save.
That's good, but you could use that for anything. You could say, you know, don't gamble away Australia's natural whales.
That's true. Don't gamble away Australia's national security.
Don't,
go fight a war in Iraq. Nice.
Okay.
Don't gamble away privacy.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Australia doesn't actually have any indigenous whales, and national defence has nothing to do with Iraq.
That was the... Oh, sorry, I didn't do the sign.
Don't gamble.
Oh, I didn't do the sign. Now we've done it. It's all good.
Don't gamble with the Forgotten Generations.
That's the sign that says we're just about to talk about Tony Abbott. Oopsie. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Don't gamble. Just don't gamble.
Don't gamble.
So what then happens to the electric
hand? It was actually a good platform. Yeah,
it was a great platform. Because it covers everything.
Yeah. Stuff this detailed... Minuate. Yes. I always say minuate. That's not right, is it?
It's minutia.
Yeah, it's minuate. Yeah.
I'm confused.
Minuet.
Good. How are you, Pete?
I'm good. Nice to meet you, confused.
No worries.
Steve. Thank you, Dad. Pete's officially done
the
first...
my thing? Or?
Dad joke. Oh, you got a thing?
Oh, this is my 30 seconds.
Oh! Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What do I do?
Just play it. This is a new segment.
New segment.
It's a good time to introduce a new
segment. It's a fantastic time to introduce a new segment.
New segment!
Nothing beats Coon. It's Australian for tasty.
Yes, this is a touch of Coonan.
Yeah, touch of Coonan.
Yeah, as some of you may be aware.
Do I have to touch it, though? Is that part of the segment?
No, you don't have to, Pete. The whole point is, I am your proxy.
Oh, excellent.
I am your touching proxy.
Coonan. Excellent.
Exactly. Now,
you said proxy, not proxy, week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Last week I gave you the story of how Helen Coonan cares for the glassmakers.
Yep, she's looking after the glassmakers of this country.
Looking after the glassmakers.
She's giving her own stimulus package.
She is. Stimulus to the glass door builders.
I can report
that the glass doors are still up.
Yep.
She's still foreign affairs, apparently. Government business in the Senate.
Yep.
The government business in it. I'm assuming government business is just... opposition business.
Opposition
business is just disrupting everything, isn't it?
Isn't she in the opposition?
She is, so I don't know why she's claimed the title. Yeah. Anyway, I was standing ready to go to lunch last week.
Yep.
And Helen comes out. I call her Helen now.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're on first name basis. Yep. Okay, Helen.
Yep. Nothing beats Coon.
Yeah. And, she's standing there, all dressed up, smick.
Yep.
Smick, is that a word?
Smick's
no,
word,
yep. Schmick.
Waiting for the elevator, just
by the
me
way,
and her.
Can I just, at this point, for our American listeners, the term coon has some different meanings in this country.
It's a brand of cheese.
It's a brand of pink cheese. It is not a racial label.
It's also her name.
Okay, so at this point, don't be offended. We haven't gone out and proverbially shot the monkey. This is...
No, that's the New York Post.
Unlike the New York Post job, not ours.
So-called democracies.
Yeah, like other so-called democracies. Coon is a cheese.
It is.
She's not. Can
I
just say...
To you. She's not.
She's a strong woman.
Does she smell like cheese?
So she's more strong and bitey rather than
I'll
coon.
I'll get into that. She is. She's, nice.
More vintage.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
She's a Gouda.
She's a Gouda.
No, vintage.
She's not a Gouda.
No, she's vintage. Definitely vintage aged.
No, I need to be a wanker at this point. As part of my travels,
something new.
I have found out that the pronunciation of Gouda is not Gouda. It's Gouda.
It's true.
Gouda.
Did you know that in Germany, Puma is pronounced Puma?
Excellent. So,
suck on that.
Helen Coonan.
You know, in Australia,
the
word wanker is pronounced wanker.
I know, it's good, isn't
except,
it?
Except it's when it's pronounced Costello.
Yes.
Or Peter.
Yes.
Oh, Peter
Costello.
So, here, imagine the scene.
About my dad like that.
Me and Helen waiting for the lift.
Yep.
Silence.
You're going, hey, Helen, in your brain.
And I'm standing there thinking, what's a good opening line? What's a good opening
Oh,
opening
what's line? Your sign?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, or roll over.
Yep. So have you ever... No, I'll think about it. We'll work on that one. I'll come back.
Good.
So, how you doing?
Do you have any Walk on the Black Forest in you? No? Would you like some?
Nothing beats Coon.
Or that.
So, I thought... here's a line. So we're standing there waiting. She's got a little travel bag.
It's not actually a travel bag, dude. That's where she carries her nunchucks.
So she's. It looks like she's about to catch a plane.
Yep.
I don't know how she was
with her nunchucks.
Going in Pitt Street.
How did they get through?
It looks like
she was, security clearance.
Yep.
She's about to get a plane to Canberra.
Yep.
Because there was a big thing coming up later in the week.
Called Parliament.
Yep. Exactly.
Question time. She's wearing her best wig.
Yeah.
So I go. busy week for you.
Nice. Good luck. Good luck.
Like it? You like
it? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It's a nice teaser.
So what? She's always said, get fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And she said, yeah. And then she goes, someone said that I'm the Scrabble board blank piece of the opposition front bench. Now I wonder what that means. Unquote.
Isn't it interesting?
Because if you type the word, if you actually put the word fuckwit in Scrabble, that's worth 19 points.
You know, I'm a little confused. How did she manage to bring herself up in a sentence that wasn't actually really related? What the friggin' hell are you talking about? Is it?
No, I just made
now,
that.
I did what you've
it's
just done.
14. Yeah.
I did what you've just done.
What?
I just stood there
yes.
going, what the fuck? And it wasn't until we'd sort of stopped talking mm-hmm. that I suddenly realised what she said. I grinned to myself. So,
what? Yeah. Can you explain? Because I'm actually a bit of a loss what yeah, she now, actually meant.
Now,
usually she just wanted to talk about herself.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, if someone,
not got that bit.
If someone's going to say something that's the opener of the thing, yeah. you've got to be brief.
Yep.
You've got to be clear,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to tease, right?
Yeah.
You can't just come out and say something that's so big and complex and deep that someone just goes, I'm not talking to you.
So what you're saying is that the better line would have been something along the lines of, fancy a root?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
As in, busy week?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the line, the full line.
Or, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you?
Or,
security!
Yes, exactly right. Security! Him!
Now, maybe the later one, but the yeah. but the earlier one, no, because she knows me.
Yeah.
Because we've bumped before. So she wouldn't have said...
She
wouldn't have said, who the fuck are you?
Okay.
But she may well have said, security. So, the line was, after she rolled her
particularly
eyes...
Particularly with that business of that AVO, and it's just, yeah.
Exactly. Someone said the other day...
Hmm.
That I was the Scrabble board blank piece
mm-hmm.
of the opposition front bench.
I get it now. She can be anything.
Exactly.
I get it now.
Or...
It's not funny, though.
No, it's not funny.
No.
I never said it was funny, to be fair.
Yeah, did she giggle?
I never said it was
funny. Did she giggle at the line?
She smiled.
Yeah, yeah.
And looked at
ooh,
me.
Oh, that's a bad thing.
And I smiled back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I'm sure...
Was this before
did
or after...
Did you follow Zig Heil in there somewhere?
Was this before or after she cupped your balls?
After.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Now, on the other
good
hand...
Man.
Do you think she maybe just took it the wrong way?
Mm.
She's the blank piece of the opposition Scrabble board because now she has nothing to do.
Mm. She's the Scrabble board blank piece of the opposition front bench.
That's what
there's
I said.
Big difference. No, you said she's the blank piece of the Scrabble board.
Shit. God, I love this place. I really, really do. Nothing beats Kim. That's all I got. I still don't understand her answer. I'm confused.
Because she could do anything on the front bench.
Or nothing.
Or nothing, that's true.
Or nothing.
No, it's because she's always put into the blank space
right, yes.
that's caused by somebody else moving
in around.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, is what you'd basically describe Tony Abbott as. A blank space.
Or a twat. One
or
of those,
a twat, yes.
One of those two.
Yeah.
I
haven't
thought
yeah.
of it that way.
No, I'm
but
a
to be honest, to be fair,
to
Cooney, I mean Helen.
Yep.
I forgot.
By
I
the way, American listeners, Cooney is an Australian thing we tend to do when we actually want to give, like, a nice, pleasant name to people. Like, we could call him AB. That could work.
And we do. We do.
Yep. Richie?
Yeah, Richie.
That works?
Yeah.
Petey?
Petey.
Works? Cooney. It's just Cooney. An Aussie thing. Yeah. It is not, once again, shooting the monkey.
So,
New York Post job.
Just in summary.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. just watch an ape's finger. I told you, in the break. Yes.
What's that symbol
that
for?
That was my chat with Helen this week.
With Helen, yep.
And you know, every month or so we have a couple of words, a bit of a smile, a bit of
friendly repartee.
As I mentioned about mm-hmm. 6 months ago, she came out of the bathroom at one point, and I sort of gave
followed
a bit of a smile. She gave me a bit of a smile.
Yep. Nice.
But to be fair, you know, she's
her hands wet. You make
she's
no, she'd
she's
her
done
hands.
A fair good job of all the portfolios she's been, particularly
mm-hmm.
telecommunications.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, anybody could do a better job than that twat Conroy.
That's true. And this is A Walk in the Black Forest. 88.5 FM.
It's Australian for tasty.
It is. Now, I'm confused.
Yes.
Oh, I'll move on.
Okay.
So anyway...
Oh, so that was descriptive rather than...
Oh, yeah, right. There's no segue. Yeah. I know where to go, really. It's just pretty much it. Now, this week, it's been revealed that apparently rampant sex is good for you.
Excellent.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Now, who came up with this? Stephen Conroy?
Stephen Fielding.
Stephen.
Because rampant sex is great if it's in marriage.
The National Health... The National Health Service in the UK says endorphins released during orgasm stimulate immune system cells, which also helps target illness like cancer, as well as wrinkles. Now, I'm really looking forward to the advertorial with Glenn Wheeler on Sunrise in the Morning explaining sex.
So that's where Glenn joined it up.
We're joined by Marsha, and she's going to talk to us about rampant sex.
Exactly right.
Now, apparently the National Health Service has gone in to say this is backed by science and clinical evidence, and it isn't just a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. So there you go, that's ruined that idea.
Yep.
Sex uses every muscle group, gets the hearts and lungs working, and burns about 300 calories an hour. Now, frankly, if you're going for an hour, that's pretty good. And if you are good, burn those calories, that's nice. Increased production of endorphins.
Although if you sting, you can go for 4.5 days.
Yes, but it's not intense, you see.
Sting.
It's
sting,
not.
Sting, yeah.
He's into sting.
Tantric
sting.
Sex.
He's into tantric sex.
Oh, the sting. Oh, the sting. Oh,
the sting. No, 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 no. Not the movie, The Sting.
Oh, really?
Sting.
Oh.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, the sting.
Sting. Just sting. No, the. Just sting.
Just sting.
Sting.
Sting. The sting.
Yeah, that'll do.
Right.
Paul Newman.
Yeah, that's
right. I didn't know.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, I did. I knew that. What's the thing I didn't know?
There's
do we have enough time for Richard to describe what he doesn't
know? I
know
something you don't know.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
I know something you don't...
Not as funny. But
I know something you don't know.
What's that?
Batwoman's a lesbian.
Yes!
Really?
Yes, this is, of course, comic news.
It is.
Now, can you explain to me...
Do we have time for comic news?
I think we do. When the hell did Batman die?
Last November.
Okay, so he's dead now? Officially dead? End of Batman, not going to come back alive?
He has to. He has to come back alive. Otherwise, DC loses the rights to Batman and anyone else can publish it. So he has to appear in the next 12
months.
Did
Batman die?
Yes. He was killed by a fireball last November.
Nice.
In a comic?
No, in real life.
In real life, in Gotham City.
In a comic!
Well, I don't know. In a movie or in a comic?
No, in a comic.
In a comic.
Only the stuff that happens in comics is real Batman canon.
That's true. The movies are not canon.
No, that is true.
Only the comics are real life.
That's true.
You're the one who asked whether he died in a freaking comic, son. Yes.
And the answer was, he did.
So he's been replaced by Batwoman.
Yes, exactly.
Who was a lesbian.
That's right. Now, Batwoman...
True.
I reckon whoever's taken over the canon is on drugs.
You know why they knew that Batwoman was a lesbian?
How?
Rainbow sticker on the Batmobile.
Nice.
That's what it was all about.
Now, my question, who's writing Batman at the moment?
Oh, well, it depends on which comic it is, but I'm unsure. I don't know.
All right. Because that often will give you an indication whether they're wankers or not.
I did read the Kevin Smith Batman.
Oh.
Absolute dross and shit.
Fair enough.
Absolute dross.
How long has Batman been a regular comic for now?
It's been around for a long time. In fact,
did it have a break in the middle of it, or has it been going ever since I got the first one when I was seven?
Ever since.
And then grew
fact,
up.
Probably before then.
Yes.
In fact, definitely before then. You know, DC stands for Detective Comics, which was actually what Batman started as.
But see, the issue with Batman, of course, and from not having much knowledge of these things, because, you know, I only ever listened.
Yeah, sure.
To nothing I've ever said, is the fact that Batman had a dark period. Like, his sales were going down, no one was reading Batman.
His sales? Was he on a boat?
He was.
He was. He was Boatman, not Batman.
Until they bought in a very great writer who basically came up with the whole Dark Knight.
Stephen
Fielding.
That's him.
1986.
Yes.
The Dark Knight Returns. Frank Miller.
Frank Miller.
It's true. He reinvented the Batman. Because
was
before
he the voice of Kermit?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Before that...
Alfred. Sorry.
Good point. Yeah. Before that, Batman was really campy.
Yeah.
And was sales are dipping. So
the
then the Dark Knight...
Splash! Zammy!
Lots of that shit going down.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then they brought in the Dark Knight Returns and yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yes.
There was the...
I don't remember any of that because I grew up in the 70s.
And then...
Ooh.
Ah, fair enough.
Mm. I didn't grow up. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, so exactly.
As with 75% of the male population, it would seem.
Interestingly, though, I have... that is Batman karma kicking your ass!
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How many years have I been playing with
this
thing?
Take that, Dark Knight.
And it finally bit me.
Take that, Dark Knight.
Stick that in your Robin.
Yeah.
For those of you at home who didn't see what happened, there's an empty mic stand in the middle here, and I usually play with the clamp on it each week.
Yep.
And
this week the clamp bit your ass.
Bit me on the ass.
Nice. Nice.
Not in a Batwoman kind of way.
No, not a Batwoman kind of way.
It could have been. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been.
And finally, to wrap up, because we have 30 seconds left.
Do we?
Yes.
Bloody hell.
Finally, to wrap up, did you know that currently in New South Wales there are hundreds of ants carrying their brains outside their heads?
You need is a bowl of ant rid.
I know.
You can solve the problem.
The New South Wales Fair Trading Department apparently has 1,400 requests to mediate disputes. But not the dispute. Well, one of the weird ones was there was a dispute. It was involved an owner who was breeding trout in an indoor swimming pool in a block of units.
Yep.
So it was dripping through the ceiling.
Yeah, I heard that one, yep.
On the other hand, there was a bit of a problem with this guy because he had actually converted his townhouse courtyard into a stable to breed horses.
Nice. There was also the other one that was filming gay porn while his wife was away. I believe
that's
he's a
right.
minister.
Yeah, but that's normal.
Allegedly.
Yes, that's drug right. Scary yes. ones.
There was also a woman who had offended her neighbours because she was watering the plants and gardening in the nude. All the female people complained and all the male people thought it was a really good idea and
yeah, but
nothing
see,
actually
none
happened.
Of this actually comes close to noted rock singer Jerry Rafferty, most known for Baker Street.
Oh, otherwise known as Chips.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, Stuck Chips. In the Middle With You, another one of his big hits. Pulp Fiction made that quite famous again. He's officially gone a bit gaga. But last time he was in a hotel, he was kicked out of the hotel because he locked himself in his hotel and decided to urinate in all four corners of the room. Every single piece of furniture and the bed had to be incinerated.
Yeah, that's an old mating ritual.
Don't you know that?
You would if you'd had sex.
So that's what it's like.
You know why it was.
That's
all,
what I learned when I was at Knox.
You know why it was all four corners. You know what was all four corners of the room?
Why?
That's where the term foreplay comes from. See, you didn't learn these things.
Ladies and gentlemen, next couple of weeks we've got a big announcement. As we said at the start of the show,
what do they call it?
We have two shows where there's only going to be two of us. Because
yes, I won't be here next week,
and I won't be here the week after. But I'll be here both weeks.
Hey!
So you're going to get a couple of two-handers, and we
I've taken a week off.
Yes, well, we do. We charge for that.
Might have two-hander.
And then we'll be back with the big announcement in 3 weeks' time.
Something like that, when we've worked out what the hell's going on.
Yes, exactly.
And also, coming up very soon...
Because the reason we're not telling you is we just don't know.
We'll discuss the Razzies, which are the bad movies side of the Oscars.
Are we doing that next week?
We were doing it this week, but we ran out of time. Let me put it to you this way. Mike Myers,
welcome to my work.
Love Guru. Love Guru.
Exactly.
It featured heavily. So did Paris Hilton.
Fair enough.
And that's just in the NBA lineup.
Yeah, fair enough.
Never mind.
We'll see you next week.
Tally-ho.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. We'll be right back.